Hi, I'm Alex L., and I write books for a living. The Hey Girl podcast was created with sisterhood and storytelling in mind. Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Join us as we journey through sharing together. Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
So good to chat with you, Sadie. How are you?
I'm grateful this morning.
Yes, I love that word. I love that word. Well, I am grateful too. I am a big fan of what you have built, and I am so excited to be able to dive in with you, get to know you a little more, and of course, about your self-care practices. But before we do that, can you please let the Hey Girl listeners know who you are and what you do?
Yes. My name's Sadie Lincoln, and I'm a mother of two teenagers, 15 and 16 year old, two rescue pups, live here in Portland, Oregon, and I'm the founder and CEO of Bar 3.
Bar 3, a household name that is absolutely just amazing, and I am grateful that you are here with me today. So before we really get into the nitty-gritty of things, I definitely want to talk with you about how Bar 3 came to be and why. So can you kick us off with that?
It started as a real personal problem that I wanted to solve. I simply scratched my own itch in the fitness industry. I had worked for a large fitness company for about 11 years, and I helped grow it from 25 gyms to over 430. It was a really exciting growth opportunity for me to be in an industry that I thought I really loved. I ran fitness instructor training at UCLA and then at the College of William & Mary for my grad program. Same thing, I was really involved in fitness. And I kind of silently struggled for a decade with feeling unhappy in my body, feeling pain, negative pain in my body, and a sense that I just wasn't enough and that fitness promised to deliver this ideal. And then I recognized in the data that I wasn't alone. While fitness was upper right-hand corner growth, to this day, it's a $34 billion industry. And when you add in wellness, it's $4.6 trillion. It's a huge booming industry. But in contrast to that, our health is declining. And I started to do some research and investigation and, you know, stats like 91% of women in North America struggle with body dissatisfaction. My daughter, three of her six dearest friends during COVID two of them have been hospitalized with an eating disorder and one is struggling. 51% of people with injury in their body attribute it to exercise. So just some of this data points to my own personal experience that fitness is often anchored to pain and shame. And I wanted to correct that. And so did my husband. And that was kind of the motivation behind starting Bar 3.
It's so interesting that you brought up the point about the 91% of women feeling dissatisfied, but then also the association that fitness and pain are synonymous. And what really stood out to me just now is I have a dear friend who was working out at a very popular place and was on the row machine, and the teacher was not paying attention very well or catering to the students or the attendees of her class. And I guess my friend pulled wrong and she damaged her back. She has sciatic pain now because of it, has had injections in her back and all these crazy things from just not feeling or being supported in this row class. And it was kind of like you push until you get your heart rate into this, you know, crazy place where it's going to be burning the most calories. And she actually just started working out again last year during everything that has happened with COVID and the pandemic. And she started with Bar 3. She got back into her body with what you've created. And I want to talk a little bit more about why you feel it's important that women feel empowered enough to, yes, move their bodies, but also get back into their bodies. And maybe what was that aha moment or point for you when you were like, I need to figure out a way to feel worthy and enough in my body and lean into my love for fitness and exercise and wellness?
Yeah, I think number one is to this is a huge step for me and for many women I know, recognizing that we have been conditioned to feel shame and pain in our bodies. We've been taught that. It's learned. Words matter. The slogan for decades was no pain, no gain. Right. And that idea is embedded in us in an unconscious way. And even in that fitness environment you were just talking about, I'm certain that instructor, that wasn't their intention, right? And what I would say that we do at Bar 3 is we consciously practice unlearning that conversation, that story that's written on us, that fitness is designed to get us to an after picture, to an imagined ideal in the future at any cost, because what we are right now isn't enough. We need to be more fit to be worthy, to be sexy, to be attractive, to belong. That's what we've been sold. And it sells really well because it preys on our human basic desire to be seen and heard and belong. And we're better than that. And we know we're better than that, but it's a practice to remember that. And you can practice that while you're moving. If you look at the before and after picture mode of selling fitness, very common, like it's such a metaphor for me for what's broken in fitness. There is no presence in the before and after picture. And presence right now, as we're talking, this is when we thrive. Right in this moment, we're growing together. We're learning together. We're practicing being aware and present. And you can do that in your body while you're exercising as well. And that takes an intention. And that's, we train all of our team on that, all of our instructors. And most of our instructors come to us because they've practiced Bar 3 and they've had a major light bulb moment in their own fitness journey because of that reframing.
Reframing of fitness. I want to talk about that presence piece because you mentioned the before, after, and then presence. So can you dive a little bit deeper with what that means for you, especially, I mean, and your customers and your team and your teachers, because there are people who do have fitness, air quote, goals, right? And they want to get to a certain weight because maybe their doctor said that they need to and they need lifestyle changes and all of these things. Or maybe someone just wants to really feel good in their bodies because for so long they haven't. How do you keep people centered in that middle ground of being present and in the presence of, you know, maybe the middle of that before and after picture?
Great question. There is nothing wrong with wanting to change. It's true and good that fitness changes us for the better, right? When you study fitness, it works and it is good for us. Strengthens our bones, our heart, you know, having strong body composition, clears our minds, balances our hormones. I could go on and on and on. Fitness is good for us. What's broken is our motivation. And if this doesn't motivate, you know, some people are more data oriented. Statistically, being motivated by shame or by a desire to be something other than we are simply doesn't work. What happens when we're motivated to be skinnier, to look good for the reunion, right? Or whatever it is that you're, a lot of times we exercise to get somewhere and to show up a certain way. But even like, honestly, exercising to lower your blood pressure or something, being attached to that doesn't work. Because what happens is while you're exercising, you build a relationship with exercise that's more of a fight with your body to the finish line, even if it's a good finish line. And when you start with self-compassion, with love, when you look what's underneath the why you want to lower your blood pressure, why you want to feel good in your body, you know, why you want to show up to the reunion confident. It's usually, there's something underneath that. And it's about compassion. And I know this sounds corny, but it's true and it works. Self-love. And when we start to forge a relationship with moving as a way of demonstrating love to ourselves and our body in the present moment, we develop a congruent relationship with exercise. So it becomes a part of you versus a chore outside of yourself that someone else does or that you do only when you have to get somewhere. And when we do that, when we build a healthy relationship with exercise, we do it. And we do it in a way that's a celebration. It's a way of stepping into brave space and challenging ourselves in a good way. You know, we do need to move our body to failure, but with compassion, with alignment of what matters. Moving the body to failure to be something other than we are doesn't work. Moving the body to failure to celebrate who we are and our resilience and our strength, that works.
What has Bar 3 in particular, the building of the brand, the building of the community, taught you about self-care? And to further that, what has it taught you about self-care as an act of community care?
Gosh, I really think that this global pandemic we're sitting in right now, with I think over 400,000 Americans passed away because of COVID, I think that the great lesson we're learning is the responsibility to take care of ourselves and how that impacts others. Mm-hmm. How we show up in the world truly does impact others and their health and well-being. And, you know, that's the first thing that just struck me when you said that. The second thing I would say related to that idea of self-care that I think we're all learning because we are, many of us are in quarantine, is this metaphor and truth that we're all learning to be at home in our bodies. Mm. And, you know, because the race is canceled, the wedding's canceled, I mentioned the reunion's canceled, all these things are canceled, we're taking care of ourselves because with permission to ask ourselves, what do I need right now? And honoring that versus taking care of ourselves again to get somewhere. And when we build that muscle, it's like a practice. We're not just building muscles and sweat. We're building our authenticity muscle of showing up true, showing up honest. And I really believe that a practice of that kind of authenticity, whatever it is you practice, you become more authentic in the world. Mm. When you show up that way in the world, it imprints on others.
Mm. Whatever you practice, you become. That is, wow.
That's an idea that I learned from a teacher named Don Dapani. He was a monk for 10 years, Hindu monk, and came back and he shares kind of some principles he learned during that time in a real practical way. Mm-hmm. And I was telling him one day how I was struggling being a mom. And then I just had so much shame around working and not being present with my kids. And he said, of course you aren't. You practice being distracted as a mom all the time. You are really good at being a distracted mom. Well, we can practice things unconsciously and become those things too. Just noticing, like when I'm on the phone distracted, having a half conversation with my child, I'm practicing being distracted versus being congruent with my value of focus and giving them attention. You know, I think it applies to so many things, but that was definitely a light bulb moment for me.
That is, I could talk about that all day. Like that is just amazing. That is going to go on my background somewhere, computer, phone, because that is the truth. Whatever you practice, you become. And it also links back to everything you've mentioned about being present and being in your body and how you're showing up in the world and self-care as community care, and also how you're showing up for yourself, by yourself, especially now. So thank you for sharing that. So as we wind down, I'd love to ask, what has being present over the past, geez, we've been in quarantine and pandemic for almost a year come March. What has presence taught you about staying grounded and nurturing your relationships, but also yourself?
Yeah, I think one of the things is noticing without shame or judgment when I feel like sitting with sadness, sitting with fear, sitting with anger, sitting with uncertainty, sitting with chaos, like meeting those moments is what I've learned versus running away from them. And I think my children being witness to that is really important. Like if I was to give them any gift, it would be the gift of self-awareness and compassion for themselves when they feel all the feels versus like pushing them away and covering them up in different ways. So yeah, I think it's just meeting the moment, all the moments.
Thanks for listening to the show today. Please rate, subscribe, and review. Also, feel free to share with a friend. We love having our community grow. Music is by DC's own Kokai.